All right, 1 Kings chapter 21. You stand with me. Just a few verses here. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. If you're familiar with this story, you realize that about the time that Ahab began to pout, in came his wife Jezebel and said, Ahab, honey, what are you pouting about? He said, I can't get that vineyard from Naboth. She said, I'll get it for you. She went and hired two men to set up false witness against him, said that he had blasphemed God and blasphemed the king, and they carried Naboth out and stoned him to death. She walked back in the room and she said, Ahab, darling, I got you that vineyard that you wanted. Just go ahead and take possession of it. And he went right into that vineyard, and there he stands enjoying stealing that vineyard from Naboth. This morning I thought about the statement that Naboth said when Ahab said, Give me your vineyard, or trade me your vineyard, or sell me your vineyard. I don't want to preach on this thought where Naboth said, The Lord forbid it me. He was saying, It ain't for sale. And I want to preach on this morning on that thought, not for sale. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning to stand. I pray, God, you'd use us mightily. Help us, Father, forget about the time just for a little bit and help us to preach. And I pray, God, today that the Spirit of God would accomplish great things in our lives. Teach us your truth. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Some years ago when my wife and I were moving out of the parsonage, we went out looking for houses to buy, and everyone we looked at had a sign in the front yard said for sale. Maybe some different company had it, but everyone we looked at said for sale. And we finally ended up buying a house. Praise God. We're so thankful to have an opportunity to move. Worked 16 years at Steelcase. Had my own home pretty much our whole marriage. We've been married 21 years. I'm so thankful. We've got years and years and years of making payments and making investments, and the Lord just helped us to be able to buy a house, and we were thankful. But as we had bought that house and we had begun to do a little work on it, we cut some trees and some of y'all helped us. We put a roof on it and we've redone this and redone that. There was a man drove up into my driveway. I'd been out washing my car recently or sometime back. Been out washing the car and I was going to wash the other car. And a man drove up in my driveway. Tinted windows. Kind of scared me. I seen him, and I went out to where he was. And I said, Can I help you? And he said, Yes, are you the preacher at Bethel? I said, Yes, sir, I sure am. He said, I've been doing some checking on you. He said, You've got a good reputation. That bothered me. Because the Bible says, if we're really preaching, our reputation won't be perfect. There going to be some people don't like what we're preaching. Amen? That bothered me when he said it. I thought, boy, I ain't stirring up enough dust, so I better kick a little higher. So anyway, he said, I've been checking. I heard you had a parsonage at your church. And I thought, oh, he's wanting to get in the parsonage. Well, he said, I'd like to buy your house. I said, well, the parsonage, no, he said, no, you ain't getting it. He said, I've checked. He said, I know how it works. He said, I want this property. You've moved back to the parsonage. Name your price. Sell your house. I'm worth a lot of money. I live out of state. Give me your price. I want to buy your home. And I said, no, sir. It's not for sale. He said, son, I know you say that now, but you can make some good money and go back to the parsonage and live and be fine. And then you could go and buy something else here in town or build you a house. Why don't you just do that? He said, or better yet, this is what he told me. This is what he said to me. He said, I've been checking around. And he said, You probably ain't going to stay in Spruce Pine long. He said, you'll probably be leaving here anyway. So whenever you do, don't call a real estate agent and put your house for sale. Whenever you take off to Winston-Salem or Greenville or wherever you're going to move to, he said, you just call me because I want your property. In fact, I wanted it before you bought it. You bought it out from underneath me, and I can't believe you beat me to it. But he's upset about it. And he sent me a card, and he continues to call me. He's after my property. I got something that he wants. I kind of like that, don't you? And it occurred to me as I was walking back in the house. I thought, Lord, what's all this going on? The Lord said, I let him come here to prove a point to you. You looked at houses that had for sale signs in front of the yard. But this man drove up and made you an offer, and there's no for sale sign out front. And he told me when he talked to me that day, he said, son, everything's for sale. And God said, is it? Just because I don't have a sign on my back that says for sale, don't mean that the devil's not going to come up and say, hey, would you compromise? Would you change the standard? Are you for sale, son? Sir? Church? Devil comes to you too, ma'am, sir, says, are you for sale? You willing to compromise, trade? You willing to give up? So that got me thinking. Just because we don't have a for sale sign around here, the devil may come make offers. Now, is our pulpit for sale? That makes me mad to even see it there, and I put it up. What's that youth choir sing? Are they for sale? May not be up to you. It might be up to them. How about these 39 youngins that's up here singing? They for sale? May not be up to you. I want to say, first of all, this morning, according to these verses, I see Naboth's possession. What does Naboth have? He has a vineyard. It's a beautiful place. The Bible says that it was his inheritance. It had been handed down to him from generation to generation to generation. And he felt like it really wasn't his to sell because he was reaping what somebody else had sown that entire time. But he did a good job maintaining it. I believe it was an illustrious place. I believe it was beautiful. I believe it was fruitful. I believe that it was productive. I believe that it was a place, not only a physical vineyard, but I believe it was a spiritual vineyard. I believe that if you would recognize the very fact that inside the vineyard, there's a vine. Has to be, or ain't a vineyard. Hey, guess what this morning? Inside every vineyard, Jesus said this, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. And guess what this morning? Whether you realize it or not, there's a vineyard. And here we are. It is a spiritual vineyard. It might be a place of prayer. It might be a place where you and I can come and praise His holy name. It might be a place where we can stand up and give our professions of faith and yield our testimonies before our fellow men. It might be a place of great prosperity. It might be a place where there's joy. It might be a place where there's fellowship. But I want to say this morning, it is a spiritual vineyard. That tells me that's just where character is made. In the vineyard, we have a standard. There are morals and there are values and there are ethics. And Naboth has a vineyard that is right by the palace of the king of Samaria. And every time that wicked old fleshly king looks out his window, he sees that beautiful vineyard, and maybe he sees Naboth out there just praising the Lord, saying, thank you, God, for the gifts you've given me. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for old-time religion. Thank you for a choir that'll still sing the old songs. Amen. Thank you for a preacher that'll still preach the blood. Thank you for a church that'll still fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for a church that still wants to shout and praise God nowadays rather than dancing to the oldies. Praise God for a church that still wants to stand for something. Well, every time that old king looked out the window, it grieved his soul to see Naboth out there. And you got to realize that this vineyard you and I have, we are right by the pleasure palace. Right by the world. Every time you look around, you may see the allurements and the pleasures of sin and all the things this world has to offer you. But old Naboth held true.
In fact, he said, the Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. According to Scripture, in the book of Numbers, chapter 36, verse 7, the Bible says, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. The Word of God forbade him, did not allow him to sell out. And he was true to the Word of God. Naboth has a possession. You have a possession today. You have Jesus. Glory to God, you can't get anything better. You have a place of prayer and you have a place of fellowship. And I say today that the devil is trying to find out if this church, if your family, if your children are for sale or not. Not only do I see Naboth's possession, but second of all, I see Ahab's plea. Understand what King Ahab, the king of Samaria, had. He had a beautiful palace to live in. He had plenty. He had money. He had fame. He had fortune. He had power over the kingdom. He could say to the soldiers, march, and they had to march. He could say, go to war, and they had to go to war. But I want to say, not only did he have all those things that money could buy and obtain him, but he had poison. You see what he wants? He's not satisfied with power. He's not satisfied with all the prosperity that the world gives him. Naboth has something that he don't own, and he's upset about it. You see, that's the way it works, y'all. The more possessions you get, you're still never satisfied. And Ahab was never satisfied. So he begins to look, and he begins to long for, and he begins to try to ask to get Naboth's vineyard. Well, let's be very careful here. He says again in verse 2, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs. You know what he wants to do? He wants to change a productive vineyard, and he wants to plow it under, cut it up, and turn it into a garden of herbs. He wants to take that which you can eat, that which is wholesome, and tear it up for that which is just a little flavoring. You know, parsley, stuff like that. You can't eat that and live on it. The devil, all he wants to do is he wants to get the vineyard and he wants to plow it under and tear it up and he wants to change it. I tell you what, there's a lot of churches that the devil's trying to change. And little by little by little by little by little, a lot of our churches are trying to change. To try to please men. Hey, I am not here to please you. I'm here to please the Father which has sent me to preach, amen. And your job is to please Him that saved you. Not to please your fellow man. Well, he makes the offer. He says, give it to me. And he says, if you will, I'll give you a better vineyard. Or if it seemed good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Hey, the devil says, will you trade me the blood, the book, and the blessed hope, and I'll give you something better. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you really think the devil has something better than what God has given you? Jesus? Salvation, ability and access to pray. You really think the devil's going to give you something better? There is absolutely no way. I can tell you about a young preacher. And he had a young son that grew up in the home and grew up faithfully in the church. But the boy was attracted to the allurements of the world. And the young boy was the young man, the preacher's son was attracted to worldly, secular music. And he began to get in bands and play music. And you think, well, that's totally harmless. That's no big deal. But he started getting on drugs and he started getting addicted to alcohol. And the next thing you know, he goes to one of these where they have some Satan worship going on. And he said this. He said, I will sell my soul if you give me fame and fortune and women. And guess what? That boy made it big time. He plays in a great big rock and roll band, travels all over the world. There's even church members got his album in their CDs in their cars, in their homes, and think nothing of it. But that boy is a Baptist preacher's son who literally sold his soul to the devil for fame and fortune and for women. And he changed his name to Alice Cooper. And proud of who he stands for. You know, he sings that old song you youngins like to sing. School's out for the summer. And y'all think it's so wonderful. But what he is was someone who sold out. I could not tell you how many young ladies that I know have come and said, preacher, I sold out my virginity for popularity. I sold out my standard of not going to wild parties and drinking and participating in them things. But I decided, the devil said, well, if you'll do this, you'll be popular. Come down off them convictions your preacher's been preaching to you. He's just old fogey trying to rain on your good times. Why don't you just take a walk on the wild side for a little bit and take you a drink of alcohol, and just you can handle it, it's no big deal. I'm going to tell you what, every single alcoholic today started with just one drink. Someone sold out, someone compromised and got them in trouble. I can tell you about the man who came to the altar, Brother J. Harold Smith, and he bowed down there at the altar. Brother J. Harold Smith bowed with him, and he said, sir, I said, I've watched you every night. He said, I believe you. Under conviction, your eyes have been weeping, and you've been a twitching. He said, preacher, I'm in bad shape. And he said, oh, you're here at the altar tonight. Will you get saved? Will you call on Jesus? He said, preacher, I came. He said, tomorrow, I'm closing. I've been troubled about it all week. I'm closing a real estate transaction. I'm going to make about $25,000 after everything's paid off and cleared. And he said, if I get saved, he said, the land deal's crooked. And if I get saved, I can't sign that and really be what I ought to be. So I'll tell you what, tomorrow night after the deal's over, then I'll come get saved and get my sins forgiven. And the preacher said, you can't do that. You're putting a $25,000 price tag on the lapel of your soul if you don't get saved when he deals with you. And that man said, well, I'll just have to take my chances because I can't walk away from $25,000. And the man got up and left the service that night. He came back the next night. We even went to the altar and he said, preacher, I feel different. He said, you don't believe the Lord's dealing with you? He said, no, but I want to be saved. He said, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. It works when he's drawing you and wooing you and there's conviction. He said, well, then I can't get saved. I can't get saved. And he walked out and never went back to the church. Within the year, just a few months later, they called the evangelist, Brother J. Harold Smith, to come to the house. He said when he went across the little sidewalk into the home, he could hear a man back in the bedroom, down the hall back in there, screaming bloody murder. He said he knocked on the door. The good lady of the house opened the door and she said, my husband's in trouble, preacher. Come on in. You can hear where he's at. Just go on down there, preacher. I can't stand it no more. And put her hands up over her head. Just couldn't believe what she was hearing. And the preacher followed the voice and went down the hall and opened the bedroom and called the man's name. And he looked up at him and his head, had his head up against the headboard of the bed. And he said, preacher, the devil's after me. Don't you hear the chains are rattling? Don't you hear his demons are screaming for me? Preacher, the devil's after me. Don't let him tempt me. And started trying to hold on to his hand. Brother Smith said, do you believe that the Lord's convicting you? Do you believe? I can't get saved, preacher. I can't get saved. I've waited too late, preacher. You told me I'd sold my soul. He said, preacher, there he comes. There he comes. Oh, and he began to slide down in the bed. And when he slid down the bed, he said, preacher, he's got me by the feet. He's got me by the feet. He's wrapping chains. Preacher's taking me. He's taking me. And he died right there in front of the preacher. And you know where he went? Went to hell. Because he decided he'd sell out. When the Lord dealt with him on a Baptist church pew and asked him to be saved, he said, no, not today. I have some things I want to do, some parties to attend, and a land deal to go through with. And sold his soul for $25,000. How horrible. Let me tell you something this morning. Judas Iscariot himself. The devil came and said, let me make a deal with you. I'll give you 30 pieces of silver if you'll betray the Son of God. He said, let me have the money. Got the money and went right down there to the garden where Jesus had just been praying and kissed him on the cheek and said, this is the one I kissed. That's the one that's supposedly the Son of God. And the Romans took him and arrested him. And I'm telling you what, Judas Iscariot sold out to the devil. He's in hell right now. I can tell you about a young lady who decided she was going to go to the prom. Her parents had said, you know that boy's alcoholic. Yeah, but he's the most popular guy around. He's dreamy. Got that wavy hair, big, tall complexion. Oh, all the girls is crazy about it. And he's asked me to go with him. But you know what he stands for, honey. We're not allowing you to go. She said, well, okay. She went and got her the dress. She made plans with her little girlfriends. They'd just go together and they'd meet up with old Bobby when they got to the prom and mommy and daddy didn't know about it. After all, it's harmless. And this, what's going to become of it? Well, she got with him at the party. Sure enough, they had a few dances, little romance, sweet nothings in their ear. And Bobby convinced her that she ought to just take a little ride with him. You know, up there to Lover's Corner. She got in the car with him. He'd been drinking every opportunity he had when nobody's chaperones wasn't looking at the prom that night. He got in his car, driving down the highway too fast, lost control of that Mustang in a curve. When he came out of the curve losing control, his side of it hit the bridge, flipped them both upside down in the creek, killed that young lady. Over. Brother Coy, Sheriff's Department, went after the house and said, your daughter's been tragically killed in an accident. Down here at such and such road, down there in the creek. She's with such and such boy in a Ford Mustang. He and Daddy said, no, there's no way. That didn't happen to my daughter. Because my daughter, I forbade her to go. And my daughter promised me that she wasn't going to go. But guess what happened? She went to that party and she had said, no, I won't go with you. And yes, I'm going to be true to my father. But when she got to the party, the offers just kept on coming. Will you sell out? Will you compromise? And guess what she did? One innocent car ride and her life is over and her family is destroyed. And they went down there not believing that it was her. And they saw and they identified the body as their daughter and just wept and wept and wept. Just one sellout. One bad decision. You may have lived for principles and standards your whole life. You may have the most blessed vineyard around here. We'd never think that it would happen to you, but you're getting ready. I'm telling you, as God is my witness, He told me to come in here on Sunday morning and challenge you, don't sell out. Do not compromise.
Amen.
One of the smartest young ladies ever come out of, I won't name the church. She was a 4.0 student and above. When she left her high school into Harvard, she made it 4.0 there. She graduated. NASA hired her. She had a lot of pressure. She worked a lot of hours. Somebody told her, let's just smoke a little crank. Let's just do a little drug here. It'll help relieve your stress, and it'll kind of help you think more clearly. Never done it before, but went and said, I'll do it. Didn't believe in it, but said, I'll try it. I've got so much adversity, so much pressure. She did. It blowed her mind. Now she's in a straitjacket in a mental asylum. She went to one party, knowing better. Devil said, are you for sale? She said, well, not really for, maybe just for tonight. And she sold out. I could go on and on and on, telling you about people who decided, well, I'll sell out my opportunity to be saved today because I think I'll get one tonight. You don't know what's going to happen. I've always dreaded preaching a message on Sunday morning. Go to the house after it's over and have Brother Chris Pittman from the funeral home call me on the phone and say, Darren, it's bad. One of our church members was killed today. One of our people has been killed today. Is there any hope for the family? Did they come to the altar? I don't even watch the altars to see what happens unless you got your hand up and said, preacher, I need you to come help me. I let you work on things with God. I don't pay attention. But I've always feared that one day He's going to call and say something bad's happened. What if this is the day? And you decide, I'm just going to, preacher, I'm not for sale. My family's not for sale. My wife's not for sale. My children's not for sale. But as far as me praying, oh no, I can handle it. Let me tell you what old Peter thought that way. Jesus went to that garden. He said, you tarry you here and watch. And he came back and Peter was asleep and said, why could you not watch and pray with me for an hour? Couldn't you pray about your family? Couldn't you pray about your situation? Couldn't you pray about your individual life? Well, yeah, you're probably right. Jesus went back to pray again and Peter went right back to sleep again and again and again. And you sit here, sir. God has blessed your vineyard. You have joy. You have things to be thankful for that you don't even know. He's been that good to you. And I'm telling you what, you better keep praying. You better keep serving God. You better keep saying, God, help my daughter to say, I'm not for sale. God, help my son to say, I'm not for sale. God, help my wife. God, help me to say, I'm not for sale. God, help our preacher to say, he's not for sale. God, help my Sunday school teacher to say, he's not for sale. He's not going to compromise and ruin the good name that the church has. Well, Ahab is making a plea. He's wanting to get them to change the Word of God. Well, let's go to a different version. Y'all, that old King James Bible, 1611, that's too old. Don't understand these and thous. It's coming. Hey! To do anything different is selling out. It's changing the standard that God has given us. I'm telling you what, if I get hit by a bus, Brother Chris, and if you have to call our church and say, our pastor, y'all, it's bad, he got hit by a bus. Let me say this to you. The next preacher you get in this church, you better watch him to be a teetotaler. And I mean for the old time stuff. I mean if it pops its head up, he'd shoot at sin and knock it down. You hear me? The devil, listen, the devil with everything he has in his arsenal is wanting to make offers to this church to get you to back up, compromise, give in, and quit. He said, give it to me. No, I ain't give it to you. Trade it to me. I'll give you a better vineyard. Hey, what's better than Jesus? The devil ain't got nothing better than Jesus. He said, well, give it to me for money. Now, you hear him tell you. The devil right now is making an offer to Spruce Pine, North Carolina. You follow me? He says, is Spruce Pine for sale? All the other cities and all the other townships and counties and states have sold out to liquor by the drink and alcohol votes. And that now he's saying, Spruce Pine's for sale. Yep. And he's licking his chops. And he's all excited. He's got good people even involved in it probably. But I want to tell you something. The town I live in, it ain't for sale. No, sir. The youngins we preach to, they're not for sale. The homes we're involved with, they ought not to be for sale. Let me go on quickly. I got more I could say there, but I think about Naboth's persuasion. He said, the Lord forbid it. He said, you know what? You've made me an offer. You've asked it if it's for sale. Let me give you, bless God, my answer. I can't remember the last time I drove down the road and saw a house that had a sign in the front yard that said, not for sale. But just in case you're wondering, this church ain't for sale. I don't care what rumors you want to start, what seeds of doubt you want to begin, you let it know that it starts and ends right here in this pulpit. That we are not looking to compromise the standards of the Word of God and old-time religion and old-time worship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Preacher, that's good. He said it's not for sale. Guess what? He's going to die for his decision. They went and got them witnesses. Perverted, took him out, stoned him, killed him over it. I think about that little girl in Columbine High School. You remember that shooting that happened up there? All them youngins got shot and killed by them other students that carried them guns in there. He walked up to one of them young ladies and put the gun right up to her head and said, do you still believe in your Jesus? She had a real chance to say, am I for sale or not? If I say I don't believe, then he probably's not going to kill me. And I'll live to see 18 or 20 one day. But that's not what she did. She said, I still believe. Boom! It blew her away. And she died for her decision. But the Christian don't really die. Death may come to the body. But when it does, amen, to take our last breath here, we take our first breath there. I believe that young lady must have had a vineyard. A profession, a vineyard of prayer. She believed God. And Ahab said, I'm going to take your vineyard away from you. And he blew her brains out. But she took her first breath of glory and looked around and she said, you know, they may have took my earthly vineyard, but standing before me is the vine. I'd never seen him before. I'd only heard about him. She probably bowed at his feet and said, they may have took away my vineyard, but they can't take away the vine. Glory to God for that, amen. Jesus is alive and well. I can tell you about the little boy. I've told it before. That little boy and his sister And his mama would go to church, and the daddy hated them going to church. I mean, he would literally question why they would tithe. He would question why they went to Sunday school, why they didn't just go to worship service. He got mad when they went to Wednesday night. He would have really got upset if they went to an Awana program. It blew his mind. He didn't understand it. He was against all that stuff. He'd beat her, black her eyes. She'd go to church anyway. Nose bloodied, mouth busted, her trying to put lipstick on to try to hide it. But she stayed true to the house of God. Come home from church one day. My little boy said, "Daddy, would you go to church with me?" And I'm telling you what, he blistered that boy. He got up and he went back to his wife. He said, "That's it." He said, "I'll take all three of your lives if I'm ever, don't you ever have my son plant to me about that I need to go to church." She said, "I didn't tell him nothing." He slapped her. He said, "Sure you didn't tell him." And that little boy that afternoon was out in the front yard on Sunday afternoon. He went out there and said, "Daddy, will you play ball with me?" "No, son." He sat there on the porch, reading his big old fancy paper, trying to read about the stock market up or stock market down, trying to enjoy business, trying to enjoy but he had no real peace. The little boy had his little red ball, you know how they do, out in the front yard. He'd throw it. "Daddy, will you play ball with me?" "No, son. Quit asking me. I ain't got time to play ball with you." "But Daddy, please play ball with me. Please play ball with me." He wouldn't do it. Finally, little boy, he threw it one more time. It must have hit a tree or something, but it ricocheted. It went out across the highway, out in the ditch line. And little boy said, "Daddy, you play ball with me?" "No, don't ask me no more." And he goes out across the road to fetch his ball. It's made a miss lick or a miss bounce. You can hear the screech of the tires as he stepped into the road, that Mack truck coming. Locked it up, skidding, sliding all over the road, trying to miss him and veer out of his way. But whammo, it hit that kid. Knocked him straight up in the air. Knocked him over there in the ditch line. And there he laid. And that daddy threw his paper down then. And he jumped up and run across the yard. And in a split second was across the road. And the truck driver jumped out and said, "Where'd he come from? What's happened?" And there laying in the ditch line was that little boy with blood running out of his mouth, had some running out of his ears, his body broken all to pieces, but he was still conscious enough to talk. And the daddy looked down and got down the ditch line in the mud where it was and picked that little boy up and brought him into his arms. And that little boy said, "Daddy, you go to church with me?" That's what he said to him when he died. "Would you go to church with me?" That daddy bowed his head. And that little boy took his last breath in that daddy's arms. He'd never feel that little boy hug on him again. And he'd never sit down and watch him ride his tricycle no more. He'd never be able to sit down with him at the table and have dinner with him no more. That's all been taken away because daddy was too busy. He came to the funeral. He was at the church. Daddy was there. Oh, I begged and wept and cried, but he wouldn't make a change. The next Sunday, the church service was held. I'm telling you what, he was the first person there. Sunday school superintendent said, "We've got a class for you." He said, "I ain't going to that class. I want to go to where the youngins are. Will you boys take me?" "Well, yeah." And they took him down there to where the little boys' class was and went over there and said to the teacher, said, "Do you mind if I just kind of sit in his chair?" She said, "Well, he sat there, but that chair's too little." He said, "It's all right." He just sitting there, trying to glean anything he can from his son and his son's life. And he came back out. They rang the superintendent, rang the bell, and they came back out for church. And the preacher began to preach that you can be saved, and it's possible that you can see your loved ones again. Boy, he was the first person to hit the altar. And he said, "I've sold out my whole life to work iniquity. But I believe God's convicted me today to be saved, and I don't want to sell out again." And he called on Jesus, and he got gloriously saved. You hear what I'm telling you today? Oh, Naboth was persuaded, "We're not for sale." And then we see Naboth's peace. Listen, without faith it's impossible to please God. What was his peace? That he did what God told him to do. He said, "I'm not for sale." I guess when he got to heaven, he'd say, "I'm glad I didn't sell out." It may have been unpopular. King might not have liked it. But I'm glad I didn't sell out because I've been true to Jesus' name. And now he's in the presence of God the Father himself. I want to ask you, church, is your soul for sale? Are you really saved? What about your testimony? Is it for sale? What about your family? You see, today there's a battle going on. In things and places we cannot see, there's probably demons. It's lining themselves all over this building, saying,
I'm going to distract you. I don't want you to hear what the preacher says. The preacher's wrong. The devil's smarter. He's wiser. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And the devil, he's got all these imps gathered around. Probably choir sets full with them. Just seeing for what we're going to preach. To see if they got anything to worry about at Bethel Baptist Church. And they're sitting here looking at your family saying, you know what I offered them last week? I may up the ante. I may offer them something better this week. See if I can get them to cuss. See if I can get them to give in and to serve me and to give up being faithful and to quit being part of this church stuff and to quit reading their Bible. Every demon that could pack himself in here today, the devil's probably brought in this place to try to stop you or hinder. But I'm glad there's one named Jesus. Who said, well, there's two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And he's here and he holds all them demons at bay. And he says, you clear out. Stand at attention. Give us a little space of grace. I'm going to have my preacher preach. And I'm going to have my Holy Ghost go and speak to hearts. And tell them and warn them that these demons and that devil's trying to get them to compromise in this world against them, to try to get them to sell out. So what are you going to do? You going to sit there? You going to stand there when they sing like you usually do? Or are you going to say, you know what, I've been an altar 52 times in a row, and I don't care to make it 53. I want to get down on my knees, and I want to say, Lord, my family, my daughter, my son, the pulpit where I go to church, my Sunday school class, the talent God gave me, the very vision that God gave me for the future, the purity and the life that I live and what I've got, it is not for sale. And if it costs me my life, I'd rather have Jesus than all this world could afford. You stand to your feet today. Someone come to instruments. I don't know. I don't know. If the devil's come to you to try to get you to sell out, but I'm going to warn you that he's coming. I wasn't expecting it that day when that man drove up my driveway and said, I want to have this property. You can do whatever, but I want this. Let me tell you what the devil's looking right now for some property in your life. He's trying to get your family, sir. He's after your children. You knew he's coming. You ought to get on your knees before God and say, God, I'm not for sale. Help me to be strong. Help me to do right. Help me to live properly. Oh, Lord, I want to live according to your word. Folks are bowing all over the house. And let me tell you something. Every devil around gathering, and he's seeing who's going to stand and who's not going to bow to Jesus, thinking, ha, 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 I think I'm going to get it. Boy, I'm telling you what, church, it would be amazing to see what God would do in our church if we'd all just get on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not for sale. I've been bought by a price. The blood of Jesus Christ has atoned for my sin. And I want to serve you. I'm asking today, would you come? Might be somebody here as I get ready to pray this morning. Say, preacher, I'm not saved. Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to slip up my hand. I'll put it right back down. Say, preacher, would you pray with me? Anybody, as I look, say, preacher, I don't want to sell out and be lost. I want to be saved. Anybody in this room? Lord, today as we bow in your presence, Lord, I'm very aware that every demon's gathered around this place that can probably fit in to try to hinder and fight against the Word of God. Lord, I pray this morning, God, you'd help us to say, my family, my convictions, the standard of the Word of God, the blood of Jesus is not to be compromised. It is not to be given away. It is not to be sold by a price of money. Lord, the money will run out. Lord, that money will not buy that person that's going to sell out peace of mind. The devil's offer, Father, will not give them joy. Oh, no. It's a counterfeit. Father, I pray you'd speak to their heart. And I pray, God, you'd show them. And God, for these that are bowed in this place, God, they're saying, Lord, I'm not for sale. God, help me to recognize the devil's offers, his compromises. And I pray, God, you'd help me, Lord, to recognize them and not to give up on my convictions and my standards and try to pray for my family. God, would you help my daughter, my son, my wife,
myself, Lord, to stand for you. Even if it hair lips the devil, God, I pray you'd help us to stand on the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this place today. God, there's folks, and the devil said, well, there can't be healing and there can't be satisfaction from heaven. But I'm glad, Lord, you've cleared off a little space of grace where we can get on our knees and still serve you. And we can still shout and praise God at the house of God and say, the Lord forbid me, my family, my church is not for sale. God, I pray you'd bless these that have come today by faith. And I pray, God, you'd give them strength to resist and stand in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.